Throne of his grace and his presence. He knows every person in this place. And he's asking you, would you come personally from your heart to him? Just begin to talk to him. Yield yourself to him. Make yourself totally available and accessible to who he is. Some of you might ask something. Some of you might give something to him in praise. Some of you might surrender something. God's been wooing you to surrender. I'm saying, get real with God right now. This is what it's all about, church. Face to face with him. Union and communion with Almighty God. The revelation of eternal life is knowing him.
Yes.
We must receive his face. We must come face to face. Approach your daddy right now. He's daddy God. Approach your daddy right now. You're not lost. You're not alone. You have a daddy. You have a father in Jesus. Good news is heaven's here to come into you. Get personal right now. Please talk to everybody in this place. Man, I feel like that whole long atmosphere of worship was so powerful. There's so many things in place. I'm so aware of so many different things. It's a very important time for everyone. I love you, Jesus. I honor you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the blood of your Son. I want to see it. I want to understand it. I want to receive what is full. I want to do honor and justice to the shed of your love. Every step that I take, I want to do honor to the sacrifice of your life and your blood. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to just be a blessed me kind of guy. I want to live with honor. I want to live with integrity. And I want to do justice to the love. So grant me grace and understanding and wisdom right now. Grant me revelation, Lord God. I worship you. I yield to you. I surrender to you. You're amazing. You're amazing. Mercy has come and triumphed over judgment. We'll never receive what we deserve. Earthly justice would say it isn't fair. God would say it's our sin. And triumph is over judgment. Receive his mercy right now. Some of you just need to say thank you for having mercy on me. I've been knowing what's right, and I've been not quite doing what's right. Tonight my heart is before you. I'm confronted. I'm convicted. I'm telling you, if you felt like you couldn't enter into what was happening tonight, and there's something violating your conscience, just say thank you that you're full of mercy. I receive it, Lord. And I thank you for loving me and washing me. It's the goodness of God. One thing that Satan can't stop, can't override, and can't defeat, is the mercy of the Father. Mercy, God. We all need your mercy. Your mercy, Lord. I don't deserve a right, but I've got a right. I don't deserve life, but I'm alive. I don't deserve to kill you, but it is violently. I'm here to stop my spirit. I don't deserve to be touched by his presence and that he lives in me. I don't deserve to behold him face to face, and yet he distanced me. Mercy has come. And now I am his, and he is mine. Thank you. Receive it, church. Yeah. Receive the mercy of God. He loves you. He'd have never sent his son, Jesus, if he didn't love you. He doesn't love you based on your life, your works, your performance. He loves you because he knows who you are. He knows what he created. He knows the truth about you. You were created in the image of God. He loves what he made you to be. He loves who you are. From the foundation of the world, he knew you. Let us make man in our image and in the likeness of God. Amen. You were in the most lost place of your life. He said, that ain't you. I know who you are. The mercy came through the blood of Jesus Christ to remove sin and the weight of sin, because what's under that sin is worth redeeming. What's underneath that sin is something of great value and great price. It's called your life. And to God, it's worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil, don't let people or your own soul lie to you. When sin's removed, there's something worth redeeming. When sin's moved out of the way, God says there's a pearl of great price. It's not just about sin, people. It's about the value you possess to God. He knows who you are. And if we ever get a hold of that, we'll rise up and live worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll rise up and live worthy of the calling and destiny of God. We won't fight or live and try so hard. Grace will propel us as we see. We are worthy of the blood of Jesus. That's amazing to me. All my life I was fighting to hide from sin, to stop sin, to run from sin, to deny sin. One day my heart understood. It's not about any of that. It's about seeing who I am from the beginning. Realizing that the blood of Jesus has washed all the sin away so that God can get to the real me. That's amazing. Once you see that, you'll never see people the same. When you see people way out of character, your heart will breathe, and mercy will rise, and you'll realize they just don't see who they are. When people mistreat you, you'll realize it's not a reflection of you, it's a reflection of where they're at, and you don't understand. And all of a sudden, mercy protects your own heart, and mercy keeps you free, and this river of love keeps flowing. Not just from God to you, but from you to others. It's the whole purpose that you're saying. To become under God. You're not saved to have a better day. You're not just saved to go to heaven. You're not saved to have all your needs met and have glassy smooth seas. You're saved to partake of and become the nature of God. You put off the old man and you put on the new man, who's created in the knowledge of the image of him who created. You put on Christ and you wear him with a smile. You come out from among them and be ye separate, because your life was worth the blood of Jesus Christ. He didn't save me because I'm just a man destined to fail. He saved me because I'm a man with a destiny, created in the image of God, with a purpose to fulfill, empowered by the Spirit of God Almighty. We made it all about sin. We made it all about bad you and bad me. And I'm saying, wait a minute. The blood of Jesus removes sin, because there's something worth fighting out, and it's called your eternal value in him. You're not a sinner. You're created in the image of God. And when you live less than that, you're just deceived and blind. Jesus proved it because he hung on the cross and said, forgive them, God. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they are, but I do. That's why I'm dying for them. That's why I'm giving my life for them, so they can be restored and be come back to original value. Forgive them. They're blind. They don't know what they're doing, but I know and you know who they are. That's the gospel that'll transform your life and cause you to see fellow man the same way God saw you. How can we receive mercy and not give mercy? How can we receive love and not give love? How can we expect and hope for forgiveness and not be willing to forgive? It's taking off the old and putting on the new. It's taking off that old man and wearing him because he wants to live in you. That's just the gospel. It's love. Mercy's come. Triumph over guilt. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. Child of the living God. The heart of God is consuming me. It's in me.
God's love. Answer truthfully.
Let me see your hands truthfully. Not that it's the case right now, but at some point in your Christianity, you had a struggle believing and receiving God's love for you. Raise your hand, please. Now you look around. It's almost unanimous. That's not, you can put your hands up. Thank you for being honest. That's not an accident. Because if you were the enemy, and this was all about love, and you didn't love him first, he loved you. You love him because he loved you. Wouldn't you scramble people's ability to see the love of God for them? If you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, and you were the enemy, wouldn't you scramble the identity of where you looked in the mirror and didn't really like what you see, so you can't see value in others? If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you don't even love yourself and God, how can you love anyone? I'm so in love with who he is in me. That's not vanity. That's a brand new man talking inside of me. I look in the mirror and like what I see here. Not because I look at my face, because I look in my eyes. And I see him there. You know why he's there? Because he wants to be. That's why I'm created so he can live in me. Not so I can pray a prayer and have my need met today. So he can live in me. I don't have the word of God, so when things get tight, I have a way to pray so things get looser. My Bible says the precious promises are so I partake of his divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. That means selfish, unsatisfying desire. The corruption in the world is lust. It's selfish desire. The promises allow me to see the gospel in a way where I put off the old, put on the new, and become loved. And now I'm sanctified in the world, not of it. No longer destroyed and driven by selfish need, propelled by love. I've partaken of his divine nature, and God is love. I'm not trying to love, I'm not trying to be love, I'm not trying to have love. I'm yielding to love. And I'm believing he first loves me. I receive that love into my heart. And all of a sudden that love begins to transform me, and I look at Katrina. And I know exactly who she is. Simply. Your love for you all weekend, you can tell too. It's hard getting on the other things. It's easy to make a broken problem. But I know things. Every time I look at her this weekend, all I can see is how precious she is to her. I just felt the effect of love on me. She is her. It is. 13 and a half years ago, she had just been another teenager. She had just been another young lady on the planet. And she had just been another person passing by. And I look around and I see the only choice and will of God. His desire. It's a big deal. Don't be deceived. Don't be a Christian for any other reason. And giving up your own life, picking up your cross, following him. What's that picking up your cross thing all about? Did he deserve to be there? Was it fair? Was it injustice? Was it right? Did men have the right opinion of him, or were they all mixed up? He walked through all that animosity, all that confusion and all that press in men's souls, and none of it changed who he was. He carried his cross. He loved not his own life unto death. And greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his life for another. We pick up our cross. Life ain't fair. God is mercy. If God was fair, we wouldn't be where we're at right now. You get exactly what you deserve. It's not about fair. It's about mercy. Be merciful for I am merciful. A lot of ways we treat each other just points to the way we see ourselves and the way we live. If you live by mercy, you'll grant mercy. If you understand forgiveness, you understand righteousness, you'll see that forgiveness and righteousness. It's so important, guys, to receive the love of mercy. It's not your works, it's His. What's sufficient? Message is clear. In the face of my deception, He came and said, "That ain't even you, boy. I love you enough to die for you, to access the real you. You must be born again." First time was bogus, illegitimate, wrong daddy. The second one, first one was flesh. Was born of flesh is flesh. The second one, spirit. What's born of spirit? Spirit. It's amazing. It's so imperative we get this as the church. If not, we're going to continue to send the same message we sent to people that don't understand us. That think we're some secluded group of people that are high-minded and holier than thou and self-righteous and rejecting us. And the only reason we give free water on a hot day is to get them to pray a prayer. We've always got a string attached. They don't even appreciate and understand unconditional love because we haven't shown it to them. Because we're on this mandate to get people to say a prayer. But we're on this call to love. With no string attached. Take the water because you're thirsty. Not because you're going to pray for prayer. Take the clothes because you're naked. Not so you can come to church. Eat the meal because you're hungry. Not so you can be one of us. God help us. If we walk in love, Holy Spirit will do what He's here to do. And the networking of the Holy Spirit is a whole lot greater than our pale and frail efforts of generations. If you sow seeds of love and somebody waters that seed, God brings increase. Some people need touched in unconditional love because their eyebrows are already raised. They've already been touched with a condition. They've already been handed the blessing and the free thing. And then comes the catch and the punchline. We say, "Yeah, well, we've got to get men saved." No, we've got to love them. And God saved. In my Bible, they cried out with conviction and said, "What must we do to be saved?" I don't see that a whole lot. I'm starting to see it more because of this revelation. In the Bible, they were cut to the heart. What should we do? The jailer came out, was going to kill himself. And Paul said, "No, don't harm yourself. We're all here." And he looked and said, you want to paraphrase what he meant? "I ain't never met anybody like you. Most men would have run for their lives. You had the chance to get away, and here you stand." Symbolic of Jesus dying for them. But the prisoners could have ran. That jailer would have lost his life. Instead, those prisoners stayed because they ain't looking for a way out. They're in the Christ. And that jailer said, "This is amazing. I ain't never seen anybody with a perspective like you. Sirs, I need what you are. I need what you've got. What must I do to be like you?" That's a whole lot different than us going out to get them to pray a prayer, making them feel like we got something they don't, comparing us to them and talking to them from here to there. It's amazing. Love's amazing. The reason people live the way they live and say what they say is because they don't see or understand. Don't ever forget that. You see, yeah, but some men are evil. Some men are obstinate. Some men are just belligerent. Some men just are willful. Yeah, but if they ever really saw and ever really understood, if Jesus ever manifested the light of who He was into their face, I'll bet they'd change. Don't you please, and don't me please, Lord God, get intellectual, rational judgment out of me. Every man needs love. Every man needs to see Jesus in the church. Not hear about him from the church. See him in the church. We went and handed out tracts years ago. It was our biannual city outreach. God help us. People that never left the church property and talk about Jesus, we gather there and grab hands and pray in tongues. Shalom. We're going to win the city. We're going to turn the city upside down today. We're going to hand tracts to people that ain't like us. We want to get them saved. We're praying in that circle, and we broke from that circle, and we went out into that city, and this group of people I was with hadn't handed a track out since the last outreach. Hadn't told anybody that Jesus loved them since the last ministry event, 6 months before. But they're there pumped with zeal because there's ministry zeal. We're all together. We're of like faith. It's a false sense of love. It's a false sense of sincerity. It's a false sense of zeal most of the time. If you're not doing it in your everyday life, it's not who you are. If you really care, you'll live it. Not when the church organizes it. This is all deception, and we fed into it, and we think it's ministry, and it's deception. They walked up to this black man in the streets and said, "Hey, brother, Jesus loves you." He said, "I know he does. The question is, do you?" He's very sharp. He said, "You don't love me. You're probably a church group coming out on your annual or biannual outreach. And you're making yourself feel good about what you say you believe. But I'll bet many of you haven't even handed a tract out since the last outreach or told anyone Jesus loved them since the last time we were together. Oh, guys, believe it. I know Jesus loves me. But you don't even understand." And I said, "Back up. We're going back to the church." They came over to me and said, "That man's so deceived. His heart's so hard. We need to pray for him." I said, "You're kidding, right? That was God talking to us through that man." I said, "We need to get real and get a grip. We need to go back to the church and repent. And we need to get right." They thought I was deceived for a minute. They thought I was listening to a devil. I said, "Don't you get self-righteous. You don't hear a voice about going back to church." I was a pastor, and I pulled my rank on. Off the streets now! I was so broken in my heart, I thought, God, we can be so religious. And a seed produces after its own kind. And we're out there totally subdued by religion and don't even know it. And it's all we can possibly produce. Think on that. Each seed produces after its own kind. Thank God it corrected us and sobered us and woke us up to truth. We might still be back here doing it by and your outreach. Am I saying it's wrong to do a church outreach? Absolutely not. I never said that. It's wrong to do it when it's not who you are. And if it's not who you plan on continuing to be. If you need to go and build encouragement and get some confidence to go along just to get some exposure, go for it. But be sure in your heart it's who you plan to be. And you're going to keep loving and keep blessing and keep praying. Not just when the church says third Thursday of the month. And then walk by everybody else in between. Because then that ain't really you. We're called to live our love and live our freedom and live this gospel. It's a lifestyle of love. You hear it? What an hour to walk in life. I'm going to read one section of scripture. I'm not staying on this thing too long. I feel done. My buddy Todd's shaking his head no about it. I feel done. I'm going to read this one little section of scripture. You want to just keep playing, Todd? Are you sure? You're amazing. What, right all that time, Sandy? In the grace of God? Look at her. Do you think she's born again? Look at the smile on her face. Do you see life in her? God, I see life. He loves you. You see that? He loves you. Every one of us has got to get that free. To where from your heart you can say, he loves you, kid. He's all about me. He didn't open my car door, honey. He hung on the cross and died. He didn't come to take me on a date. He came to marry me in the eternal everlasting covenant of his love. Mary is not an angel, it's not true. Because she believes all that. 1 John chapter 4. Now I'm going to be done. I really am. I'm so sure that I didn't even put that in my mind. John, I love you. We talk about healing a lot, we always pray for the sick. For 6 months, God's got me on this thing. I'm telling you, faith works through love. If we'll just come to this understanding that he loves us and receive it, not just to be loved. We emphasize so much on being loved by God because it's very important. The Father's love letter, all the songs, it's all about love me, love me, love me, love me, and receive his love. But you've got to understand that it's with the end result of becoming that love. If it's only about receiving his love and never manifesting his love, it's still selfish. It's still all about you. And there's no laying down of your life. It's still just about what you can receive from God. Freely you free. Freely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so simple. Amen? You're going to see it right here. See, we talk about that perfect love thing, casting out all fear. And sometimes we take a scripture and we make it say a whole lot of stuff. And there is deep revelation in the Word. Who knows that the Word's saying a lot? Sometimes it's dangerous to just pull a little scripture out of a spot and then just preach a doctrine on it. You know, this fear thing, like we think just, you know, who? Oh. Or a car pulls out and you think you're going to hit him. You go, oh my gosh. Oh, I must be perfected in love. It's not really talking about that. I do believe there's a place to be calm and confident in situations and full of peace. It's talking about being able to be in his presence and being okay. Not being afraid of torment and judgment and missing the mark and condemnation and guilt and shame and then I live a life worth it, oh my God, trying harder. And knowing he loves you and yielding to that love and just living by the Spirit and believing God every day and sowing seeds and being faithful and seizing the moment and trusting God with everything you've sown. And one day stand before him knowing you've received his love and you've walked in his love. Perfect love casts out all fear. The fear involves torment. I'm going to read a couple scriptures here and end right before that scripture so you see exactly what it's saying. The perfect love casting out fear scripture, and here's another one right before it. As he is, so are we. We preach that all the time, meaning the resurrected Christ. Even John G. Lake has an awesome sermon on as he is, so are we in this world. He preaches all on the demonstration of power living on this side of the cross. His eyes are fire. The resurrection Christ, resurrection life, the power of God. The most excellent way is love. Don't pursue power apart from love. Power flows through love. You're going to see that even as he is, so are we in this world. Isn't even talking about the demonstration of the resurrection power as far as be healed. Or as he does, so shall we. Let's read. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is of God. Everyone who loves is what? Born of God and what? The evidence of knowing God is when you're a lover. It's not when you say you know God, it's when you manifest love. The evidence of really knowing God is when you love. When people's words don't go into your heart and cause sin against you to produce sin in you. When sin against you produces sin in you, you've not been perfected in love. Jesus suffered for doing good and committed no sin and didn't revile in return. And when he was threatened, he didn't condemn. He committed himself to him who judges righteously. And he bore our sin in his body on a tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, and by his stripes were healed. It's 1 Peter 2. It's powerful. He suffered for doing good. All he did was come and love everybody and heal everybody he ever touched and everybody that ever asked him. All he did was good. And he died on a cross. And he uttered not a word. He didn't stand for his rights. He didn't demand his rights. Pilate looked at him and said, "Don't you hear the things these men are saying? Have you had nothing to say for yourself?" And he said not a word, because he wasn't there for himself. If he wasn't there for himself, and he said, "Follow me," why are we Christians for ourselves? The Lord, as the Father sent me, I sent you. We think that's just the miracles and the healings. It's the heart of God. If he wasn't there for himself, why are we in this thing for ourselves? When you're disappointed, when you're let down, when you're frustrated and you're discouraged, you're just revealing in your own heart that there's something in this for you. Don't be condemned. See the truth. Begin to repent. And let truth wash you and make you free. Say, "Oh my gosh, God, there's something sticking in me. There's a motive in me that isn't producing life. It's distracting me. It's a vulnerability. I surrender it to you. I'm in this for you, for your name's sake, for love." You follow me? It's real good. And everybody else. Todd says, "I'm not a Christian for me, I'm a Christian for others." It's the truth. Anyone that's loving is born of God and what? And knows God. I know about you. I don't want to know about God anymore. I want to know God. Look at the next verse. He who does not love doesn't know God. Because God is love. I've met thousands of Christians in my life. You know the large percentage of them that have hurts, issues, offenses? It's because we don't understand that we're Christians to become love. We don't understand that we lay down our own life and count the cost before we try to build. You get it? We've preached a very shallow message. It's allowed self to be very alive. We sing the right songs, say the right terms, but we preached it in a way where we use our faith for our sake and the promises for our sake instead of partaking of his divine nature. It's a big deal. Do you notice that he said, "Who doesn't love doesn't know God," but he didn't say, "Is he born of God?" Isn't that amazing? That means a man can be aware of his need for the blood of Jesus, be humbled by his own sinfulness, and cry out, "Jesus can be a Savior," and yet it can never change on the inside because he doesn't understand that he should take on the nature of God, because all he was taught is pray this prayer and you'll go to heaven. You'll still sin, thank God for the blood. You'll still hurt, thank God his mercy is here. He gave you a comforter. And all of a sudden we believe that the way that it is the way that's normal, instead of newness of life. He didn't say, "If you don't love, you're not born of God." He said, "If you don't love, you don't know God." That's amazing to me. That astounds me. Would you agree with me? that we've missed something in this message. If we can attend services like this in church our whole life, and when we're thrown into a circumstance, we can react like a man that's never even went to church and doesn't even believe in God. I bet our Christianity is to be deeper than that. I bet we're the light of the world. And I bet our good works should shine so bright that they see and glorify Him. But boy, oh Prince, that's a little. Wouldn't it be a tragic shame if I attended church my whole life, paid my tithes and dues to God, blessed with giving and alms and sacrifice, and served in a ministry, and was the same man on the inside as before I prayed the prayer? You must be born again. The old man dies. Behold, the new man lives. New man. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because the single eye is filled with light. Love is so powerful. We are not Christians for us. We are not, I am not a Christian to go to heaven. Heaven has come to me. Heaven lives with me inside. You get it? I did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. I prayed a prayer to get back to Daddy Bob. Because I've been so lost. And now I'm found. And I'm his boy. And he loves me. I'm not his boy and he loves me so I can be loved. I'm his boy and he loves me so I can love. It's the reason I'm saved. If you don't love, you don't know God. It's not my sermon. It's John's revelation by the Holy Ghost. In this, the love of God was manifest, that God has sent his only Son into the world that we might live for him. Whoa! Words are tricky, huh? So many people living for God. You live through Him. Or from Him. Wow. You just start living for Him, you'll start doing to be. Instead of being to do. I don't do what I do to be who I am. I do what I do because of who I am. Apple tree bears apples because it's an apple tree. I bear the fruit of righteousness because I am righteous. I am trying to be. He made me righteous. You get it? He loves me. And he loves you. You've got to put it on and wear it. Right standing with God. Forgiveness of sins. Can see you as if you've never missed the mark in eating the tree. And from there on, if you do miss it, you simply confess it as faithful just to cleanse and wash you of all unrighteousness. Why? So you remain continually righteous in his sight. And sin shall have no dominion over you because God has cursed sin in the flesh. It's so powerful. You gotta get this. See, we don't understand. We preach this and we're trying to get it. The angel said it's good tidings of great joy. Because we've made it about us.
We said, where did we enjoy? My day was like hell, man.
My car ain't running right. People are acting like jerks. Nothing's going right for me. I thought God loved me, dude. That's the normal mentality of the average Christian. You ask them how they're doing and they tell you the trials of their last 5 days and say that I'm hanging in here. I'm not being harsh with people right now. I'm being real and relatable. It is true. How you doing, man? Well, you know, it's been tight, man. You know, man, my girl, she's just good. I don't know, kids are acting. I don't know what's going on. Instead, I'm loved by God. I have favor. He's transforming my heart. How you doing, brother? So amazing. People are acting crazy all around me, and all I can see is their value. What used to upset me doesn't upset me anymore, because I've been in his presence in the bedroom, weak and mute, and saying, put your heart in me, and let me look through your eyes and live through your heart, God. You don't hear that from people. Every once in a while you're going to bless God, you know, I'm doing great, bless God, I'm the head, not the tail, I'm highly favored, praise the Lord, bless God. Every once in a while you get one of those. I'm talking about sincere tears in your eyes, encounters with God where his heart's becoming your heart, and it's absolutely changing you. Amen. To where no matter what goes on, you can't see anything else. Stop. And this is love, not that we loved God. You can't make yourself love God. I can't make my... Now, Rusty's easy to love, but because I got to know him. But I can't make myself love Rusty. I can't make myself just obey God's word and see him in the value of God and love Rusty. But I can yield and surrender myself in prayer to God. And I can take on his eye and his heart. And from that place of prayer, grace starts working effectually in me. And all of a sudden I start looking at Rusty and I see something I was never able to see in my own flesh. All of a sudden I see deeper than what I could ever see even on the outside. And even if something would be out of character in Rusty, all I can see is that there's something he's not seeing and doesn't understand, but God would be pleased to work that in him because he has favor with God because God loves him. And I don't say, yeah, Rusty, oh yeah, I know Rusty, he's fair, and speak the weakness. Oh yeah, I hung around Rusty, oh he's fair. We do it all the time in the church. And all we're doing is telling the devil, we don't get it, we aren't becoming love. We see each other the way we've been acting and speaking instead of for who we are. And then he keeps pushing a few people buttons. No wonder things go haywire all around us. Because he's learned it's a few people buttons will lose most people's sanctity and joy. Most people are potter by the things around them instead of the great potter. Most people's disposition is nothing more than an outflowing and product of what they've been through and who said or didn't say what instead of what he has done. He's the potter. Don't let anything etch you and form you and mold you. Don't let the words of man rise above the words of God. Don't you dare feel rejected when you've been accepted in the beloved. Even when my mother and my father forsook me, you took care of me. Psalm said that. Don't justify weakness. Don't justify flesh. Don't give the past and men so much power when Jesus is Lord. You don't need an excuse. You don't need a justification. You don't need rational reasoning to keep you bound. It's time to be free. Amen. Say, yeah, but my mother never. Yeah, but my dad. Yeah, but Jesus. Yeah, but Father God. Yeah, but the Word of God. Yeah, but you don't understand. Yeah, but God. It's powerful. We yell butt ourselves right out of truth. Keep ourselves dry. 5 years later, we're still being counseled, trying to feel better about what we feel better about. Instead of letting truth wash us and make us free and separate us from everything before him.
Amen.
Serious in the body of Christ. A lot of the ministries that we have involved in the body for this stuff is nothing more than the replacement for not believing God's word.
Amen.
I believe. Amen. You get it? At what point does a man just lift his hands and say, thank you for loving me? Not waiting to feel it. Not looking at his circumstances and people to believe it. But looking to Christ crucified. There's no other barometer. There's no other measuring stick. Christ crucified is I love you from God. There's so much craziness out there right now. There's so much psychology creeping into the body. I mean, it's back the whole way to when you were conceived. Come on, my dad was an alcoholic. I probably got conceived on the night he was drunk and mom looked good. Because he didn't know love. He didn't know God. And he comes home, and he's drunk, and he sleeps with my mother, and here I am. But there's a time to be born, and if I'm alive, it's because I'm the will of God. I'm not the product of lust. I'm not the product of a drunk dad. I'm not the product of mishap. I'm the will of God. You can believe all that other junk and be robbed of the truth and come up with the way that seems right to a man, but that way leads to destruction. You can be the product of a rape. That's for the glory of God. Say that it was a rape. How do you know the man? Yes, you do. He's the Father in heaven.
Yes.
And if life came, it came from God.
Yes.
He'll take what was twisted and turn it for his glory. Because
yes.
His mercy triumphs where sin abounds. Grace is a lot more.
Yes.
If you let me raise to eat your lunch, I suggest you believe the word of God.
Because
heaven and earth pass away.
Mm-hmm.
It's forever. We don't live by bread alone, but everywhere. And in these last days, he has spoken through his son. I'm trying to read this, and she's doing so great. Are you okay? Oh my gosh, you're amazing. God, you're so good to her. You are love. Aren't you? He loved us and sent his son to show mercy for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, you know what? We just all love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. And his love has been perfected in us. By this we know we abide in him and he in us because he has given us his spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he is in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Watch this. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Now watch. Love has been perfected among us in this. What's this whole context of this chapter about? Is it love? The whole context of this chapter is what? It's undoubtable. Watch. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Let me paraphrase this for you. Because when God sees us and looks inside of us, he sees himself. Because as he is, so are we have taken on his heart and we have manifested love. And there's no fear of judgment in that day. We have boldness in the day of judgment because we've become love. And we can look into his fiery eyes of love and know that he has placed himself within us. We have yielded and surrendered and become who he is. And when God looks into me on that day, he is privileged to see himself filled in me, the masterpiece of the great potter, hand etched and spirit crafted by Almighty God. Because all the clay does is yield and surrender to the pressure and the skill of the potter's servant. Will you flow with me? I have boldness in that day, because when he looks at me, he says, "Hello, God." It's true. Very convicting. Because many of us are offended quickly, rejected quickly, hurt quickly. And what you hold on to concerning you is where you get punished. It's where Satan strikes. Guaranteed. Jesus said, "The ruler of this world cometh, and he has nothing in him." He left him and looked for a more opportune time. And Jesus boldly stood up and said, "He comes, but there's nowhere but me, because I'm God. There's no way to deceive and twist me out. I'm God." what he's saying. He passed the test of temptation and identity. If you're the Son of God, do something. I don't have to do anything. When he came out of the river, he said on his son, man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Whip him yourself, throw yourself down, surely he'll bear you up. And he quoted Psalms 91, the scripture. He said, not tempting the Lord, my God. I don't have to jump so he catches me to prove I'm a son. I believe I'm a son because he said so. I'm not turning any stones into any bread because I am a son. I'm not doing anything to be anything. I've already become. So powerful. And now he stands triumphant after these testings and 3 years of ministry. And he says, he's coming. He's always coming, isn't he? Looking for a loophole, a vulnerability. He says, but he has not. Paul says, don't be unaware of his devices and give him no place. He's alive. So what are we doing? Why would we hold on to me when the first step of the gospel is deny yourself? If any man come to me, let him first deny himself. Not prayer, everything in the book. Deny himself. Pick up his cross. And face the injustice of life with love and follow Jesus. That's just good preaching. That's the truth. So what do we do? In the light of truth, what are we going to do? Are we going to say, well, God, I want your blessing, but I don't want who you are? I want your favor, but I don't want who you are. I want your mercy and forgiveness, but I don't want that flowing through me. I just want what you can do for me. I don't want who you are. I want your hand, your blessing, because it's awesome, but I don't want your heart. I don't realize you're saying that. It's not an evil thing. It's deception. It's misunderstanding. I'm telling you tonight, you're very, very, very brought into the light of this thing. You are. You've all been set up by the love of God. Because what we don't know is destroying us. And willful ignorance is the same as unbelief. We ain't running from the truth. We want the truth. So what it's going to be? Do we just want his hand of blessing? Or do we want his heart? Do we just want his favor? Or do we want his nature? What is it? What are you saying? I know what I'm saying. I want his nature. You want his nature? You want his nature, truly. Right now, I want you to stand your feet. Don't stand up because everybody's gone. Stand up because you're serious. Because you're serious. Because you're serious. Please, this isn't a game. Don't stand up if you're not serious, please. Don't stand up if you're not serious. You're not under pressure, condemnation, guilt. You're not under compulsion. You sincerely are saying, I want his nature. We're going to pray now. I'm telling you, there's people in this room. It's not a word of knowledge. And it's not projection or presumption. It's just, it's not a specific word of knowledge. When I use these examples, it's just a knowing. There's people in this room that's got issues that you think you have a right to because your eyes are fixed on what was so wrong. And when you fix your eyes on what's so wrong, it makes you right, and that's a problem. That's good preaching. If Jesus focused on what was so wrong about this young man, and that became the issue in his heart, it would have made God right, and he'd have never become righteous. No, God knew what was wrong, but he knew who he was. And he saw past the wrong to get to the right. It's a big deal, man. There's people here, you have justified your feelings, your unforgiveness, your emotions. The injustice was so gross and negative, it was so obvious to you, you've made it so real in your mind that you have them so wrong that it makes you right to feel the way you do. That's human reasoning, the way it seems right to man. It's destroying you spiritually, I promise you. Todd says it this way, and I love it.
He says if they knew, if they were filled with the Holy Spirit and walking with God, they wouldn't have said what they said and done what they did. So why have we taken it to heart? It's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of them and where they are or aren't. Who cares who touched me wrong when I was a little kid? Who cares what sexual experiences I had when I was young? Because there's actually a few. See, I'm not being insensitive to the person that's out here that happened to. What does that have to do with me now that he has come? It means absolutely nothing. That little boy died in water baptism, in the likeness of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, so a new man could rise in the likeness and image of the Son, firstborn among many brethren. He's not ashamed to call me his own. I'm not a young boy hurting. There's not a little boy trapped in me. There's not somebody that needs healed on the inside of me. There's a man that's been delivered from truth, and that old hurting man has died so the new man could live. That's the gospel. We brought psychology into the gospel and done injustice to the blood. The blood of Jesus is amazing. And Satan knows it. And he loves when we integrate the way that seems right to a man into the gospel and muddy the waters that are pure and life-giving and flowing free. Because those waters are called to flow from the threshold of the temple and bring life wherever they go. Well, that's not a spiritual picture of heaven, because we are the temple of God. And that river wants to flow pure and clean and holy and life-giving through every one of our spirits. Why would we contaminate it with the memory of the act of a man or the words of a man? Why would we let human reason give it so much power now that Christ has come? I'm talking plain and straight. Because I've had a history like some of you. I had a drunk daddy that said I'd never be nothing. He took his frustration out on me in words. He took his own pain out on me in our relationship when I was little. He had no clue what he was doing because he was hurt and deceived. And I see that so clear. I don't feel like I missed my childhood. I don't feel like, oh my gosh, that's crazy for me to go there. How can I bring back those years? God is the Redeemer of all things. I so have a daddy. My dad's not even drunk anymore. He's been sober for 20 years. And my daddy's doing all right. Trying to get a deeper gospel in him, but he's doing all right. And he's a good guy. He called me the other day with a prayer request and cried on the phone and said, I know with Christ all things are possible. He said, there's an enemy in this room, and I'm asking you to join with me in prayer because you've got it inside of you. My dad called me on the phone. Who, for a while, I believe was the most negative speaking man on the planet. But I couldn't continue to see him that way. I had to see him for who he was in Christ. I'm telling him, he's getting it. It's starting to change. And I sit and I get to talk to him and share stuff like never before. I could have issues and say, well, you were never, you were nothing. Why? Why would I do that? But now that Christ has come. It's not about my daddy owing me anything. It's about me becoming love. My Bible says love is the fulfillment of the law, because it doesn't do no harm to me. It says I know owe no man anything but to love. Watch this. There's not one expectation that I've placed on your life towards me. There's no way you can fail me, because I love you.
He's so powerful.
See how flaky I get? Because I believe what I'm saying. I live it every day of my life. It's really. You all ready for his nature? You want his nature? I need you right now to get real with God. Surrender those things you've harbored. You know what they are. If they're real in your life, just do it, please. By faith, just do it. I mean some wretched memories, some things that cause feelings. When you hear their name mentioned, you cringe. Say, God, have mercy on them. You had mercy on me when I was deceived. There was times I knew to do right and I didn't do right. And you forgave me. I will not judge them and show no mercy. The Bible says judgment is without mercy, and he that gives no mercy receives no mercy. Release mercy right now by releasing them. Mention their name, whisper it, cup your hands if you have to over your mouth. And just say, God, I am not leaving here in bondage. I am not leaving here in self-centeredness, self-righteousness, unforgiveness, or anything less than love. I release it to you right now. Just a little bit longer. Come on. Do it, please. Holy Spirit is helping you right now. Just let it go. Don't be tormented by the torments. Don't feel like you're in outer darkness. The only reason you feel that way is because you're holding on to things that God never held on for concerning you. Let it go. Let it go. God, worship you. Thank you, God. God, I need this front row to come out here quick. I'm trying to fight this and I can't fight. It's the front row. This isn't going to get sloppy. It ain't going to be people firing at me. It's just God. It's receiving love. Please come here. You're serious, right? You're serious, right? God manifest your love to these people. I'm just going to pray for you. Manifest your love to these people so that they can come now. Not just your love to them, but your love through them. I bless her and call her a woman of love. I bless her and I call her a woman of love. Holy Spirit, illuminate her and enlighten her. And let your love flow to her so your love flows through her. In Jesus' name. That's good. Father, bless Katrina. Right now, Lord, let your Spirit rest. Thank you. Come on, God. And Father, the way you love her, let her so love others. Fill the kingdom in her and release it in a dynamic way, God. The way you love her, let her love. That's good, girl. That's the holy presence of God. So sweet. That's who we are. So you come and love her. You want that, don't you? You release everything in her life. Everybody. Ain't nothing nobody could have said to stop this. Let it go. So much. Father, in Jesus' name, let her receive love now. Tonight, the love of God, so she becomes love. But manifest the name. In Jesus' name. Good Lord, I'm glad you did like me. I love you, man. I love you. You're awesome. Father, touch love right now. Manifest love. Thank you for encouraging and strengthening his life. And I thank you that you're giving him a deeper revelation of your love to him. So your love flows through him. Let his eye be your eyes from this day forward. Let him see from your heart. In Jesus' name. This stuff is real. It just God will do this because you're serious. It ain't about manifestation, it's about receiving. I'm telling you, grace is in this place. Receive it, Mr. Hero. Receive it. Receive it. Receive his love. Receive his mercy. He loves you so much. And so you can beloved, become loved. I command insecurity to be removed. I command every weakness, every sense of dishonor, every lack, Lord God, of confidence and esteem. I command it out of her in Jesus' name. And Father, I just thank you right now for your amazing acceptance of her. Oh, that's it. He accepts you. He loves you. I love 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 you. And Father, I pray that it produces the mature love of God in her life. Even what we talked about earlier, I thank you. It'll never be the same. That she'll not have fear. She'll see through secure eyes and make righteous and just decisions from the place of strength, not weakness, because you love her. Yeah, from strength, not weakness. You are not weak. You are not overrun. You are not overcome. You are a woman of God. And I speak strength into your soul in Jesus' name. Bless this young man, God. And Father, let your love come on him in such a revelation and lay him manifest by guard and protect his heart and manifest your love in your life, in his life, and make him life around you. Understand. In Jesus' name, that you receive love, the love of the Father for you, that you become love. You are so his prize. You are so his girl. You are so his jewel. And because he's calling you to see that more tonight, you'll see that in others. People that even seem to get under your skin, sometimes the temptation to compare against others and all that stuff. It's over, girl. You're toasted. It's done. It ain't gonna happen. Because God's exposed it and removed it tonight. I'm telling you, you are not under the thumb of comparison. You are not trying to be anybody but the precious girl you are in the presence of God. You are not under pressure. You are not. You are not. You are not. You are not under any pressure. You are a jewel. There'll be no animosity in your heart. There'll be no comparison in your heart, because tonight your heart is crying to God. He says, I love you so. You're my pleasure. You are. God, let me come out. This is good, because you're being loved. Come out. You will sleep your father's idea. Guarantee. We'll just stamp it on your forehead. Father, in Jesus' name, bless you. Show him loves when he comes out. Heal his heart, wipe away every disappointment. Thank you, there's no striving in his life. You're not under pressure, son. I don't know where that's coming from, but I'm telling you. There is no pressure in your life. Don't you dare strive to be anything. You lift your hands to heaven and you rejoice. You're not competing. You're not under pressure. You're not competing. I don't know why I'm here now, but that's relevant to your life. You are not competing, son. You have nothing to prove. Nothing to prove. You only have something to become and manifest. It's all by grace, son. You can't perform it. You can't earn it. You can't impress nobody. Abide with who you've become. So you let the Christ in you shine, son. It's not an intellectual thing. Don't you get trapped here and live from here. Don't you try to be a better man. Don't you try to preach a better gospel. Don't you try to pick up a style or something that will impress somebody. You be impressive from right here, man of God. You live from right here, man of God. Because you've got what it takes. You've got the love of the Father and the kingdom of God on the inside of you. You don't have to earn a thing. You receive the kingdom, son. So come face to face with the Father, face to face with the truth, and rise up by grace to your potential and enjoy your ride, young man. Become loved. Gain God. Gain God. Release him from every strain, every pressure, and every work of the flesh. That's good, man. Free. 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 Here and here and here and here. You magnify. Do it, Jesus. In your people. Be loved. God, I love you so much, and I hope you have faith. I met you so much. I saw you so much. I know you saw it. You know what's true? You didn't see that for me. You didn't understand. You saw it by your own. I'm telling you, you still have the love of God. You still work the blood of Jesus' Son. You still work the sacrifice of the Almighty. He so knew what he was doing.